From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do refers to works that are possible. There are many things which our heart findeth to do, which we shall never do. It is well it is in our heart, but if we would be eminently useful, we must not be content with forming schemes in our heart and talking of them. We must practically carry out whatsoever our hand findeth to do. One good deed is worth more than 1,000 brilliant theories. Let us not wait for large opportunities or for a different kind of work, but do just the things we find to do day by day. We have no other time in which to live. The past is gone. The future has not arrived. We never shall have any time but time present. Then do not wait until your experience has ripened into maturity before you attempt to serve God. Endeavor now to bring forth fruit. Serve God now, but be careful as to the way in which you perform what you find to do. Do it with thy might. Do it promptly. Do not fritter away your life in thinking of what you intend to do tomorrow, as if that could recompense for the idleness of today. No man ever served God by doing things tomorrow. If we honor Christ and are blessed, it is by the things which we do today. Whatever you do for Christ, throw your whole soul into it. Do not give Christ a little slurred labor, done as a matter of course now and then. But when you do serve Him, do it with heart and soul and strength. But where is the might of a Christian? It is not in himself. For he is perfect weakness. His might lieth in the Lord of hosts. Then let us seek his help. Let us proceed with prayer and faith. And when we have done what our hand findeth to do, let us wait upon the Lord for his blessing. What we do thus will be well done, and will not fail in its effect.
Loving kindness, tender
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. In dealing with the Ten Commandments, Dr. Cairns has been treating each one in separate messages. The Sixth Commandment says, "Thou shalt not kill." As we've already seen, this refers to the unlawful taking of human life, in other words, murder. There are those who would try to apply this commandment to the environment, but that is a misuse of the Scripture. The Bible is very clear about this commandment's application. Or in the New Testament, Christ quoted it as, "Thou shalt do no murder." According to the Bible, there are certain instances in which the taking of human life is allowed, such as capital punishment, self-defense, or war. However, as a general rule, the Sixth Commandment forbids callous disregard for human life, whether on the part of an individual or the state. Now, here is Dr. Cairns.
You see, all European terrorism in this modern era is the execution. And remember that in Europe, the great terrorist movements, with the possible exception of the IRA, but it's only a possible exception. I'm not going into the reasons why I say that. But throughout Europe, the terrorist movements are not movements of the poor and the repressed and the needy. They are movements of the intelligentsia. They are movements led by people who studied existential philosophy in the great halls of learning in Europe and imbibed the follies, especially of the existentialist Jean-Paul Sartre. He's the one who gave the mindset for the modern movement of terrorism. He's the one who said that the state was institutionalized violence. Once you have law and order, you have force, and therefore it's institutionalized violence. He's the one who proposed that the reply to institutionalized violence is necessary violence. And so, when a terrorist organization goes into operation, it is aiming against the state. Here in the United States, some of you will remember the name of Norman Mailer, a man who in the 1950s and 60s set about giving a philosophical reason to support terrorism. When two young men were here in the United States arrested for brutally murdering a 50-year-old small shopkeeper, he justified their action by saying that this was not violence just against the shopkeeper, but the violence against the shopkeeper is violence against property. Violence against the stated order. Violence against the establishment. This is anarchy with a philosophical face to it. So that the terrorist sees the soft target as the soft underbelly of the state. He can destabilize it and hopefully, from his point of view, hopefully overthrow it by what we take to be mindless acts of violence. Let me tell you, terrorists never commit mindless acts of violence. They are thinking out their evil design very, very carefully. But though they do not lack philosophers, and indeed in this day and age, theologians, to give credence to their murderous schemes. God says, "Thou shalt not kill," and he condemns their terrorism. So there is homicide by the state, by the church, by terrorist organizations, and of course, by individuals. One writer says, The future for murder is bright in America. Just think of it. The great cities of this nation are cursed by wickedness and violence. Little children grow up in homes where they watch television for 6 or 8 hours a day. They witness murder and bloodshed and mayhem. While television is not the only culprit, it is certainly one culprit. They go out and they put it into action. There are parts of this country where a teenager has only one chance in 5 of making it out of his teens and 4 chances out of 5 of being murdered before he does so, over all of which God says, "Thou shalt not kill." So there's homicide. Then, to give it its technical title, there is feticide, which we know more popularly by the name abortion. This is the national scandal. Some 30 to 40 million unborn infants murdered in their mother's womb since the fateful Supreme Court decision to allow it legally. Even the very use of the name fetus is a deliberate philosophical ploy to depersonalize that unborn child. It's not a child we're killing. It's just an unviable fetus. There's no doubt from the Word of God that a fetus is a child. In the Old Testament scriptures, in the Hebrew language, there is no word for a fetus. It is a child. That's what the scripture calls it. Even in the womb. And in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 1, when John the Baptist was yet, according to these people, just a fetus, the Bible said he was a baby. He was a baby. The arguments that are advanced in favor of feticide or abortion are absolutely empty. I get sick of listening to these. Day by day, the woman's right to do as she likes with her body. Well, let's concede her the right, although it's a very dubious concession. But for argument's sake, let's concede her right to do as she likes with her body. What we're saying is she should exercise that right before she conceives. We hear of the woman's right to choose. What we are suffering from here in America, at least in part, is a very skillful ad campaign where pro-murder is now benignly called pro-choice. We're not against a woman choosing. What we're saying is, if she doesn't choose to have children, she should choose not to conceive them. We're told you can't force women to bear children. I don't think anybody's forcing them to bear children. The fact is, when they come to have an abortion, they have already conceived children. And we do have the right to say that they must not murder those children. And I don't hesitate to use the word murder there, for that's what feticide is. Just as homicide is the unlawful killing of a homo or a man, feticide is the unlawful killing of an unborn child. There's a very controverted passage in Exodus chapter 21 which will prove undoubtedly that God looks on the killing of the unborn child causing its death as murder, for which he exacted the penalty even all the way to death. In verse 22 we read, "If man strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, and stripe for stripe." We are told by the pro-abortionists in the so-called Christian church. Let me tell you, Christians, by definition, cannot be pro-abortion. But these so-called Christian pro-abortionists say, this is the life of the mother, if there's any mischief in the life of the mother. But they have missed the point. Notice this, if her fruit depart from her. In modern translations, that is saying if she suffers a miscarriage. But that's not the meaning. That's the very opposite of the meaning. It's not a miscarriage. It is a premature birth that's in mind here. And the going out is the very same description as, for example, the birth of Jacob and Esau. And if prematurely they cause her children to come forth, And yet if they're healthy, then there is no death penalty. But if they are maimed or killed, then the penalty will be according to the mischief. If they are maimed, then the person who caused it will suffer maiming. Yes. By premature birth they are killed, then he will forfeit his life for killing them. I want you to understand, that's God's law. So abortion is undoubtedly murder. There's homicide, there's feticide, and of course there's suicide, which is self-murder. We've got to be very careful here. And we've got to speak with strength and yet with compassion. There are many people who commit suicide, and they do so when their mind is completely unbalanced for one reason or another, or through such deep depression that they act totally irrationally and they're incapable of logical thought. With other people, it is a reaction of hopelessness. And of course, that's a rash conclusion. You remember the Philippian jailer? He was about to kill himself because he could see no hope. But in Acts 16:28, Paul intervened and he said, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." And if the would-be suicide could only be made to see it, there is hope and there is help. But they must seek it in obedience to the sixth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." Suicide is self-murder. Now all these three are still murder, even when they're graced with the title of mercy killings. Mercy killing homicide is called euthanasia. Dying well. Dying with dignity. But euthanasia is murder no matter what the courts of the United States say. No matter what their final decision on Dr. Kevorkian is, euthanasia is murder covered by God in the sixth commandment. Mercy killing abortion may come under the heading of eugenics. Some very interesting statements by eugenicists over the years about the government's right and indeed the government's duty to use abortion only to allow the multiplication of the selected seed. Eugenics put to that end is not mercy killing, it is murder. It can be cloaked as mercy. This child will have a deformity. This child will have some great handicap or other. Coming from my family, we understand that. If my sister had lived in England before her little boy, who bears my name, was born, she would undoubtedly have been pressed to have had an abortion. Though in our country, at least at that time, it wasn't even an option. Her little boy was born so heavily mentally handicapped because she suffered German measles. The only part of him formed enough to be attacked apparently was a part of his brain. He was certainly heavily handicapped. Could we go today and see him in his wheelchair and simply kill him because he's handicapped? By what stretch of logic then would it be right to kill him in his mother's womb because he's handicapped? It can be made to sound merciful. God does not give us that right. He says, "Thou shalt not kill."
been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.